Let them talk with Paul DiRienzo, keeping an eye on the New World Order. 1:30 Wednesday night, Thursday morning, following Robert Knight. Let them talk on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Let them whisper, for they know not what's
of American society. It's the majority of the uninsured are white, minority.
I'm nervous. I'm afraid you're going to hurt me. You're going to shoot me.
African Americans.
I have belongings here. Excuse me, you cannot.
Ma'am, we interrupt the story from Mark Beavis on HML because Dennis Bernstein of France Flashpoint has been put on administrative leave for his playing of a press conference concerning the crisis here at KPFA on Flashpoint just within the last half an hour. The KPFA, the guards that Pacifica has placed in KPFA are trying to drag him out of the studio.
And here you are, ready to.
And you can hear that in the background.
What is Pacifica coming to?
Garland Ganter, who is the general manager of the Pacifica station in Houston, was brought in by Pacific Executive Director.
This is not a takeover of the station. Pacifica owns, the Pacifica Foundation owns license to all the five stations. These are stations that are our responsibility in a legal sense through the FCC. But both WBAI and KPFA are held by the Pacifica Foundation, which is a corporation, a non-profit corporation to be sure, but that is the structure in this country that we hold licenses.
Well, we have a simple dream at Pacifica Radio.
To stay on the air.
I'm Paul DiRienzo. This is Let 'Em Talk. Joining me, Ms. Joan Marie Moosey at my side.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. And joining us from California, Sonoma County, California, Amber Mokelke.
Hello.
Hi. And Amber is the flesh of my blood and the blood of my flesh. Welcome to New York. I'm glad you could come and be with us on Let 'Em Talk. The latest, Berkeley, California. Public radio station KPFA, a longtime outlet for radical politics, will reopen Friday, more than 2 weeks after the management closed it down amid passionate disagreements with the staff. The staffers claim the station's parent company, the nonprofit Pacifica Foundation, wants to make KPFA more mainstream. Pacifica's board voted Wednesday to reopen the station as a goodwill gesture towards resolving the conflict, said Mary Frances Berry, Pacifica's chairwoman. Pacifica will remove itself from the management of the station for 6 months to 1 year while continuing to mediate some issues with the staff, the foundation said in a statement. No details were available. KPFA has been in an uproar for weeks, with staffers claiming a move is afoot to take their quirky community station mainstream. Managers responded by putting all workers on paid leave and locking up the station. The ruckus has brought out scores of loyal listeners, including singer Joan Baez and author Alice Walker, who have demonstrated, marched, and camped out on the street to show their support for staffers. Members of the Pacifica Foundation have repeatedly said they don't plan to sell KPFA, which has a 59,000-watt signal capable of reaching much of Northern California. But on Wednesday, a member of the Pacifica Board of Directors, Pete Bramson, said his colleagues were secretly discussing such a move. A spokesman for Pacifica did not immediately return a telephone call from the Associated Press. Pacifica also owns stations in New York, Houston, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. That is hot off the press at 7 minutes after midnight by Michelle Locke, Associated Press writer, datelined Berkeley, California. That's the latest we have. And quite a bit, my email account has been going bananas. And I can say that a lot happened today. Maybe I should bring people up to speed and read some of this material.
And it never stops.
It never stops. It's just a never-ending
non-stop
flow
barrage of information.
It's unbelievable. This morning, I woke up to email from the San Francisco Chronicle, Charles Burris, Chronicle staff writer, Wednesday, July 28th, 1999. This came in. It's dated here at 7 a.m. this morning or so. It was sent out, and it says, this is the article. If you haven't heard it yet, it was read, I think, in part on Utrecht's lead show, but in case you haven't. A proposal to sell Berkeley radio station KPFA is expected to come today before the policymaking body of KPFA's governing Pacifica Foundation, sources told the Chronicle last night. But Pacifica spokesman Michael Feinman said that Mary Frances Berry, chairwoman of the foundation's board, emphatically denied last night the sale of the 50-year-old radio station is an option being seriously considered. The reports of the station possibly being put up for sale coincided last night with a packed emergency meeting of the Berkeley City Council, which voted to support locked-out KPFA workers, to demand that Pacifica reopen the station and restore regular programming, and to call for the resignation of Pacifica's executive director, Lynn Chadwick. The Oakland City Council, meanwhile, adopted a resolution calling on Pacifica to end the lockout and removed armed guards from the station. KPFA, the flagship station of the five-station Pacifica network, has been shuttered for 2 weeks in the growing battle between the station and its governing foundation over local control. Speaking on conditions of anonymity, sources close to the crisis told the Chronicle that Pacifica's seven-member executive committee will meet by phone today and is expected to vote on the sale. The executive committee is drawn from the members of Pacifica's 14-person board of directors. Three sources said a majority of the committee appear inclined to support a sale. Unconfirmed reports said options could include reestablishing KPFA at a less desirable spot on the FM dial with a non-union staff. The Chronicle attempted to get in contact with the 14 board members last night and reached four of them. Three acknowledged that the executive committee will meet by phone today, but said a confidentiality agreement prevents them from confirming or denying consideration of a sale. The fourth refused to speak at all. Rabbi Aaron Kriegel, a board member from Los Angeles, said the committee today will discuss a proposal to solve the Pacifica crisis. Board members, the long national nightmare is over. I keep hearing in my head. Board member Rob Robinson of Washington, D.C., said the full board engaged in a stream of consciousness during a phone meeting yesterday that left matters uncertain for today's meeting. Reports have surfaced in recent weeks of a bitter division on the board, with a majority apparently unsympathetic to what they view as recalcitrant protesters in Berkeley. Numerous demonstrations have all been directed at Pacifica. Fears of a sale have been swirling for 2 weeks after an email to Berry from board member Michael Palmer was accidentally leaked. Palmer wrote that he was under the impression that a definite majority in the proper quarters supports shutting down that unit and reprogramming immediately. Palmer said cash-strapped Pacifica could possibly realize $65 to $75 million on the sale. Well, by 5 p.m., things were changing.
As the day moves on.
This statement was read at a press conference this morning. Since then, we got word that Mary Frances Berry contacted Bill Harvey of the Communications Workers of America and made a new proposal to the union that included reopening the station but not addressing the fundamental or structural issues. We are still trying to find out more about this proposal, and the steering committee is discussing it right now. Andrea Bufa of the Media Alliance. Pacifica National Board members Pete Branson's statement at the 72899 Berkeley press conference. My name is Pete Bramson. That's spelled B-R-A-M-S-O-N. I have been a member of the Pacifica National Board since March of last year. My day job is as a system support manager for a computerized ticketing agency, and I live in Oakland. I take no pleasure in being here today, but I cannot remain silent while Pacifica's national board holds serious discussions in secret about selling KPFA. KPFA is a national treasure. My commitment is to the KPFA staff and listening community. I hope that by making this public, by making this public, we can help convince the rest of the board not to go through with this tragic plan. Pacifica Board Chair Mary Frances Berry has repeatedly said during these past several weeks that she has no intention of selling KPFA. That's not true. During a telephone conference call yesterday, Pacifica Board Vice Chair David Acosta put forward the following proposal. I want to emphasize there was no vote, but the executive committee of the board was to continue discussing this issue today. I do not serve on that committee. There are several parts to this plan which is somewhat complicated and was floated in an incomplete fashion yesterday, so I'll give you the highlights. Acosta proposed taking out a $5 million loan against the value of the KPFA license. That could happen quickly. He proposed selling the KPFA frequency, which has an estimated value of $65 to $75 million. That would take longer to accomplish. With a small portion of the proceeds of the sale of KPFA, Acosta proposed that Pacifica set up another Northern California station, perhaps in Palo Alto, which Mary Berry said might be a friendlier city than Berkeley. A possible Palo Alto station would have only a fraction of the potential audience that KPFA currently can reach. As part of the discussions of selling KPFA, questions were raised about the financial cost of the current dispute, the armed guards, and the new public relations firm. While Mary Frances Berry did not provide specific figures on the cost, she did say there may only be enough money left to continue paying the staff for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, I wonder if that's just the staff at KPFA or that's
the entire Pacifica staff.
WBAI and all these other places. Oh, no, no wonder everybody was so nervous around here. Oh, boy. okay, so... She did say there may only be enough money left to continue paying the staff for 2 or 3 weeks. Mary Frances Berry also said that the new PR firm, Feynman Associates, may quit. Maybe because there's no money to pay them. There was no hint that Mary Frances Berry has any intention of trying to reopen KPFA, put the staff back to work, and resume broadcasting the wonderful local programs which have been produced here for 50 years. We do need our radio station back. I call publicly on my fellow board members to do the right thing and give KPFA back to its community. Finally, yesterday, Mary Frances Berry called me a fascist thug for disagreeing with her, and she called on me and two other dissenting board members to resign. I have no intention of resigning from the board. I will continue to fight as a member of the Pacifica National Board and to save KPFA. Thank you, Mr. Pete Bramson.
All right, Mr. Bramson.
Bramson, B-R-A-M-S-O-N. Bramson, we should give it kudos to him. And here is email at 7:14 p.m., 2 hours later. I'm listening to free KPFA right now on the net, and someone said that the board was willing to open the station and no gag rule, but no word on the other demands, no security guards, no gag rule, but no Nicole and no Bensky. In 6 months, a reevaluation of everything. This is per Larry Bensky. Bensky says not enough. What about democracy? No word except reevaluation in 6 months. Apparently, they're having a big staff meeting now. Someone's saying people locally must have control, a whitewashing deal, possibly a step in the right direction. There must be local control. Steering committee meeting now. That was from Altaf Bimji and in California. And then 10:20 p.m. Sources, this is from Rafael Renteria, who was a former KPFT person in KPFT in Texas, who was fired when they totaled, and Garland Ganter, the new head of KPFT, totally gutted all their programming of culture and color.
All ethnic programming?
All the ethnic programming out the window, and this is the same person who's supporting Mary Frances Berry's call to diversify Pacifica.
Well, isn't he running KPFA right
he's,
now?
Yeah, he's
is he putting the tapes on? Or what?
He's the guy putting the tapes on, I guess. I don't know. So this is from Rafael Renteria, who's been following this very, very closely. Sources close to events in Los Angeles are citing unconfirmed reports that a deal was cut today between the steering committee and the Pacifica board to reopen the doors of KPFA. Reportedly, and I want to stress that these reports are unconfirmed at this point, KPFA would reopen its doors on this Friday. According to these sources, the staff would be allowed to return with the exception of Larry Bensky and Nicole Sawaya. The status of Dennis Bernstein under this reported plan remains unclear. This information comes from two tape messages and a conference call with one of the sources close to the events. Also reported that there will be a press conference tonight to announce this deal. And, of course, there must have been because, as I read earlier in the program, the Associated Press is reporting as of 7 minutes after midnight. Public radio station KPFA, longtime radical outlet for radical politics, will reopen Friday, more than 2 weeks after the management closed it down amid passionate disagreement with the staff. The staffers claim the station's parent company, the nonprofit Pacifica Foundation, wants to make KPFA more mainstream. Pacifica's board voted Wednesday to reopen the station as a goodwill gesture towards resolving the conflict, said Mary Frances Berry, Pacifica's chairwoman. So, that's where things lie at the moment.
That's morning to midnight.
Now, also, in New York, we have our listeners' organization.
SOS.
Save Our Station. And they left a note in my box, which I'm happy to read to you. Save Our Station, July 28th, 1999. Dear producer, at a meeting tonight of over 60 persons, Save Our Station, SOS, adopted a resolution supporting all broadcasters who now or in the future put themselves on the line to bring to us, the listeners, information regarding the current crisis of the Pacifica Network and its associated stations. If you or any other broadcaster is threatened with removal or other sanctions as a result of breaking the gag rule, the SOS phone tree will be activated and it will be an immediate response, beginning with, but not limited to, an appearance en masse of free speech supporters outside the station. With you in struggle, SOS. Save Our Station's hotline, 212-465-7562. To get in touch with Save Our Station, 212-465-7562. And we hope to see you at the weekly Save Our Station protests.
That's every Friday.
Every Friday at 6:30 p.m. in front of 120 Wall Street.
5:30 p.m.
Pardon me, 5:30 p.m., 120 Wall Street. All right? And it goes till what, 7:30?
Till 7:30.
5:30 to 7:30.
Don't wait till 6:30 to come.
All right, here it is. Demonstrate every Friday at WBAI. Will WBAI 99.5 be sold? Like Charas El Bohio, like the Gardens? We have the smoking gun. Save WBAI and protest Pacifica's hostile takeover of KPFA. Where WBAI Radio, 120 Wall Street. When? Every Friday, beginning July 23rd, until KPFA is returned to the community it serves and WBAI is freed of control by the greedy Pacifica National Board. And then they have a great explanation of why. And let me tell you, all those folks on the Internet, here is the three important URLs. If you know what a URL is, get your pen and pencil and begin to write. Because here are the three important URLs. One, http://www.savepacifica.net. www.savepacifica.net. Also, http://www.wbai.net. www.wbai.net. And finally, http://www.radioforall, and that's with the number 4, radio4all.org, radioforall.org/Free Pacifica, one word, FreePacifica, www.radioforall.org/Free Pacifica, and that's the number 4. Okay, and you can subscribe to these email lists. The one, if you cannot deal with a lot of mail, if you just want the updates, join FreePack, FreePac, at recordist.com, recordist.com. FreePack at recordist.com. And if you like lots of discussion, and you don't mind getting hundreds and hundreds of emails every day, go to freepacifica@recordist.com. freepacifica@recordist.com. So, that's all the information. And let's go to our guest, our first guest. We have a guest
who's on the phone.
Is going to join us later from who's a California person who's here in New York, but we're going to begin with our radio expert who has been close to events at WBAI for many, many years, Randy Steele. Welcome, Randy.
Hi, Paul.
How you doing?
Hi, Randy.
Thanks
Hi.
For waiting as we waited through all that information. We wanted to make sure everybody was up to speed on what's going on. And I guess you're up to speed now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad to hear that the powers that be, such as they are at Pacifica, are planning to do. I think the only option that they had left open to them, which is to reopen, or at least to attempt to reopen, KPFA in Berkeley. It's clear that Lynn Chadwick, the executive director of Pacifica, along with Mary Frances Berry, her title is the CEO, the chief operating officer.
Yes.
Had almost no choice, obviously, in doing this, because one of the things that I didn't hear reference to in all of the material you just broadcast is that not only did the Oakland City Council pass a resolution condemning Pacifica's action and demanding that the station be put back on the air, but that all of the Berkeley government has already done the same thing, and that a vote on a similar resolution in the San Francisco City Council itself is scheduled for either the end of this week or the beginning of next week.
As well as an investigation into Pacifica's financial affairs launched by the state of California in Sacramento.
Yes, and one interesting legal note, because everybody is also interested in how this potentially affects the licenses. One of Pacifica's constant arguments when they've staged these things over the years at various radio stations is, well, the we are the licensee, and the licensee must maintain control. However, there are many other arguments that the FCC can hear regarding the conduct of a broadcast licensee, such as Pacifica. One certainly is protest, formal protest against the operation of a public licensee by the city or the cities and towns of licenses in which the stations are held. So when you have political bodies like city councils all throughout your station's primary coverage area all objecting to what your management is doing, that in and of itself can prompt an FCC investigation, not to mention all of the other political problems in all of this. So I think what's happening here is that, in effect, the management of the Pacifica Foundation in taking KPFA off the air in the way that they did, in effect, they bit off more than they could chew, and they almost had no choice. But don't let anybody be fooled out there that this in any way, even if they do put Larry Bensky back on and all of the other staffers who deserve to be on out there, that this is any sort of a panacea. We still have, and this is very important regarding the financial operations of the higher-ups in the Pacifica Corporation, that they have taken out this, or they want to take out this $5 million loan, presumably most of which would go to pay these hired thugs that, are responsible for all of the closing of the station and the guarding of the transmitter, and this private security agency must be costing a fortune. And if Pacifica takes out a loan with the collateral being the KPFA license, that doesn't get us anywhere, because ultimately that loan has to be paid off. And how is that loan going to possibly be paid off? It's given Pacifica, what is it, going to come from a special emergency grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? I don't think so.
I thought the loan was based on the sale, based on the promise that they would sell it.
Well, they can take out a loan based on the license, and then that would have a $5 million commitment to selling the license, and that's exactly the case. It's either that, or somebody's going to have to do an awful lot of fundraising to get that money out of the listener supporters of Pacifica stations that already are very upset about the hiring of this CIA and police enforcement related security company to brutalize staff members at KPFA. And this clearly demonstrates that Mary Frances Berry, with all of her conflict of interest, and we can get into that in a little while, but and Lynn Chadwick and the rest of the people who have their hands on the purse strings out in Berkeley clearly are squandering the money of a purely publicly funded foundation and need to be held accountable for it. And it seems to me that there's more than a little bit of cause to suspect that these people might be actually chargeable with various forms of financial illegalities and improprieties, and that those sort of improprieties can be much more of a threat to the license than anything else that anybody could do in Pacifica.
Well, people have to understand, you know, even as the government is stepping in to solve this problem or to settle this problem or to begin their investigations, I'm looking at photographs here of events in Berkeley the last 2 weeks, and I'm seeing hundreds of battle fatigue wearing riot police with helmets, boots, flak vests, all holding very large 3-foot-long nightsticks across a fence from dozens of just ordinary Berkeley people.
Well,
and
remember,
in all the years I have listened to BAI, and all the years I have broadcast for Pacifica, for BAI, often my materials have been often heard in the Bay Area, that I can look at this photograph and say, what a disgrace. It's just disgraceful.
Not only what a disgrace, let's analyze how those troops, which they really are, came to be there, and why the people who have been arrested, the literally hundreds of people that have been arrested in Berkeley for their heroic protests, have been treated the way they have by the Berkeley police. There's a new issue of the Shadow newspaper that has a story in it. I don't have it in front of me, but actually I heard it read on WBAI last night.
Bill Weinberg was reading it.
Yeah, and it has a lot of very good information on it. So people, if they can pick up the Shadow, it's well worth the price for the read.
And you can pick it up at Gem
Spa.
Mm-hmm.
On 8th Street, St. Mark's and 2nd Avenue.
That's a good central place. Yeah. Blackout Books.
Blackout Books, mm-hmm. Avenue B.
50 Avenue B.
Between 3rd and 4th.
Yeah.
And there have been a number of other very good articles around that cover this to the point where you do understand, once you read these articles, that Mary Frances Berry, it has to be remembered, is the chairman of the United States Civil Rights Commission, which is an executive commission. And she's directly accountable and responsible to the President of the United States. Now, I was at the local...
She's a presidential appointee. And she's been a presidential appointee for most of the last 20, 25 years.
This is her career.
Mm-hmm. She was originally appointed to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission by Jimmy Carter.
And I'm wondering...
With a sideline as an academic.
She was arrested...
Right.
She was arrested at the South African embassy with those Trans-Africa protests in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. She was very much involved with Randall Robinson in that period. So she does quote her, you know, alleged liberal radical roots. But, I always wondered if a politician getting arrested in a staged event for the media and then released was always that great of a move anyway. I mean, geez, you know.
Well, certainly,
bare minimum.
In the philosophy of Pacifica, of being a voice for those who are voiceless, it being run, in effect, by a member of the and a continuing member of the executive branch of the United States government, certainly from the standpoint of the original mission of Pacifica, seems to this listener supporter to be a conflict of interest. And further, what is more a conflict of interest, and I believe certainly is warranted of investigation, is that Mary Frances Berry, during the hostilities in Berkeley, actually used her contacts in the Justice Department to find out why the Berkeley police were being so so nice when they had to deal with the demonstrators, and in fact putting pressure on the Berkeley Police Department to in fact arrest and give the demonstrators more of a hard time.
Janet Reno gave a call. I've been told that there was a call from Janet Reno to the police department.
Did she put in a special request for them to beat Noelle Hanrahan's hands?
Right, we saw the video of that. Noelle Hanrahan, who's a strong supporter of Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Very big in the Mumia movement.
Was climbing a ladder to get onto the top of the building after it was locked, and she was beaten. We saw her beaten.
Mm-hmm. They beat her hands as she was coming up on the ladder, and then after she got over, that we don't know what they were beating, but that you kept seeing the club come up and down and up and down, and once in a while she would rise up in pain. It was horrible, really.
Now, I don't understand how any member of an executive bureau such as the Civil Rights Commission in the Justice Department can be allowed, certainly having a teaching position is certainly allowed by law, but I always thought that there were federal norms of conduct regarding regarding interest in private corporations that you absolutely, as a member of the federal government, are not allowed to have a position in a private corporation that could be that could result in a conflict of interest. And here is someone who is in charge of an entire major corporation, a private corporation, using her publicly funded and taxpayer-funded office in the executive branch to exert undue federal influence on conduct of a local police department in the case of a jurisdiction that involves her, in effect, her corporate offices and corporate property. If this isn't the biggest flagrant misuse of authority by a federal official that I've heard of, probably since the Reagan administration, I don't know what is. And it seems to me that if this were anything that the Republicans wanted to, the sex police wanted to lay their hands on, is yet another one of these really shady situations that somehow have to do with the Clinton administration, they'd be all over it. But since this is a matter of where the destruction of that Kami Pacifica Foundation is certainly involved, you know, the silence on the part of all of these government watchdog people who are so interested in pegging conflicts of interest and the people who have demanded that Janet Reno be removed from her position for all of the flagrant abuses of power that she's had since she's been in there. Why aren't these people saying that Mary Frances Berry, the head of the Civil Rights Commission, has totally engaged in this conflict of interest? It isn't happening. And one thing that is rumored to happen is that Mary Frances Berry is supposed to come to New York next Tuesday, and the local advisory board of WBAI, which had a meeting at the studios at Wall Street, 120 Wall Street, last night, rescheduled their meeting so that, given this crisis, so that they could have a meeting next Tuesday at 120 Wall Street, WBAI, 10th floor, next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. It's important that all of the listeners be at that meeting who can possibly turn out. The story goes that Mary Frances Berry may be there.